A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to look ahead to tonight's episode of This Is Rampage, baby. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray to look ahead to... Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy. But here's my number. This is Rampage, baby.
That's the first time I've heard that. That's tremendous.
It's not my work. That is just some of our many, many talented listeners that make this sort of thing.
We had John Harrison to play that on his guitar.
He's already overworked with what happens on wrestle culture. They also, this, do you want to hear the other one that we have?
Yeah, drop it, baby.
This is Rampage, baby. Rampage.
Sorry, Mikey Ruckus.
Far too good for us, this. Yeah. But yeah, Rampage tonight. We haven't seen the spoilers. We obviously avoid them. But we've heard something about a new world champion. Do you want to introduce this?
No.
Something happens. Is that all you know?
I know what it is. This is so awkward because it's not like it's some like top secret thing, but I also don't want to spoil anyone's enjoyment of the show. Keep those words in your head. Just, you know, we haven't spoiled anything by saying those words.
Okay, yeah.
So keep those words in your head.
There is an appearance from a world champion and something happens.
Things occur. Yeah, it's not like Jon Moxley comes out and loses to Brandon Cutler, right? but yeah, a thing occurs that you... I think the many, many listeners, the millions and millions of listeners around the world will appreciate what happens. And if you're the kind of wrestling fan who likes what we like in general, you're going to be excited about it.
In terms of stuff that has been advertised, though, then, Andy... one of my favorite things I'm most looking forward to is the whole Master versus the Apprentice thing that's going down. Lee Moriarty obviously took on Dante Martin and cheated a little bit last week.
Scamp.
Matt Sydal wasn't happy. But is Lee Moriarty turning to the dark side? And could Dante Martin join him?
Is he becoming the fiend?
Yeah, like, the thing was, I felt like what Sydal said in terms of like, well, you've beaten the mentee... Now fight the mentor. And I was like, well, don't mug off Dante Martin. Yeah. I do like what they're doing with this whole Lee Moriarty, Stokely Hathaway thing, because I think it's the ideal thing for arguably all parties.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's something storyline and character-wise that Lee can get his teeth sunk into, which obviously he hasn't had a great deal of since he came into AEW as talented as he is. I don't think Dante's going to turn or anything like that. I think his pairing with Sky Blue... who's his real-life partner on this week's this week's show was quite telling because she's as pure as a baby face as you can get. Although she's very early in her AEW career as well. So, and also, you know, when Darius returns, I think Top Flight are a really good high-flying babyface tag team. So get well soon, Darius, as well. I miss...
Oh, sucks when he kept getting injured.
Short-lived comeback. And it was a total fluke as well, wasn't it? The accident, just horrible stuff. So I don't sense necessarily that Dante's gonna be a heel or anything, but... Yeah, I think Lee getting more of an edge to his character is a good thing. It's been kind of a criticism of him since, well, for years, since he broke out on the indies. It's been like, great technical wrestler, lots of promise, very high IQ in the ring, presents himself really well. Like, I love the mask, the music, the baseball jersey, all of that stuff. Presents himself really well, but could maybe use some fangs, use some a bit more intensity, a bit more aggression and stuff. And maybe it's not his character. Maybe he's just a chill guy in real life or whatever. But I think it would benefit him a little bit. And going against his mentor is a good way to do that. And Matt Sydal is a consummate pro, and they will do a great job together if they go down that route.
Yeah, and I really liked last week when they had the match with Dante, and it was like, oh, they're the same. And then he was like, he'd started laying it in a bit more.
Yeah, it's nice.
Being like, oh, show you. And like I think more of that against Sydal tonight. I think Moriarty wins. I think maybe Stokely even gets involved. I think tonight's the night I think Moriarty might take the business card and sort of officially, you know, I don't think he can be a baddie. I don't know what the qualifications are, but become a part of Stokely Hathaway's inner circle, so to speak.
Why not? Well, I think so. Like, it would be good to see like a more broader utilization of Stokely, who I think is the greatest guy of all time.
Oh, he's so good.
I love him. I love the stuff they're doing with him and Jade, because it's not like we're going to split up tomorrow, but there is a bit of tension there. And it's an interesting tension, because Jade has had several managers now, none of whom have worked out in terms of like representing her best interests. So Stokely's got to prove himself a little bit with the Jade.
And brand. I like the idea of her going, why are you trying to recruit more people? You should be concentrating on, I've got a bloody belt around my waist that I've held for.
The Layla Gray stuff worked out so well, like, because we're getting off point, but who cares? It's fun. The whole, like, why is this undeserving person getting a title shot? So many people lost their minds at that, but that was the whole point.
Yeah.
It was that Stokely put out the open challenge at midnight. Nobody reasonably was awake at that time, apart from Layla Gray, who was desperate for a chance. So he knew exactly what he was doing. He maneuvered an opponent he knew Jade was going to kill into the title shot. And then he was like, hey, join the stable. And Jade was like, no, I just destroyed her. Why is she here? It's good stuff.
Who do you think wins between Moriarty and Sydal then?
I think Moriarty.
Yeah.
It's a good scalp for him to take, isn't it? Sydal is very tenured wrestler, very experienced, very skilled, has some name value.
Kind of Teflon to losses as well.
Exactly. He's not a guy you need to capital P protect in any way, is he? Like, I like Matt Sydal. He's a really useful guy to have around. You can't have too many Matt Sydals. No. There's no such thing on your roster because they're just so good.
I did like Moxley's response to Peace, Love and Pro Wrestling.
Though. Yeah.
Bollocks to that.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet that probably the match you're looking forward to most tonight is this wild six-man we're getting. It is Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends versus Jay Lethal, Satnam Singh, and a rather reluctant Sonjay Dutt.
Yeah, everything about this rules. This match is going to be so silly, right? It's going to be very silly, but I'm okay with that. Everything about this rocks. The setup segment with Sonjay Dutt accidentally talking himself into the match and then immediately going, what did I do that for? I'm old and rubbish. That was awesome. The Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, Trent going like, why are you pretending we're not 6 feet away and wearing Technicolor tie-dye suits? What's going on? Orange Cassidy interacting with Satnam Singh is going to be hilarious.
Oh, yes.
He's going to do the soft kicks on him and it's going to be so funny. He's going to like bewilder him by running around really fast and stuff. And then, Trent and Chuck and Jay Lethal are obviously very good. Orange Cassidy's a great wrestler as well, but they're more traditional meat and potatoes kind of guys. Maybe not Chuck when he's doing invisible grenades and stuff, obviously. But I love Chuck Taylor. Don't get it twisted. And Satnam Singh, in his limited offerings so far, he's obviously extremely limited. He's also extremely fun.
Yeah.
So he's doing cross bodies. He's doing spinning razor's edges. He's been a hoot so far. And I'm looking forward to watching this gigantic man launching himself into the Best Friends. I'm going to have a great time with this. It's not going to be a classic, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Who wins for you?
I think the faces. I think that Sonjay going, I suck now, kind of foreshadowed the result.
Ring rust.
Yeah, that's going to be the story. He hasn't wrestled in 4.5 years. So I think that's going to be the story.
Yeah. I think it's time. They sort of teased it a while back. I think it's time the Best Friends, not Orange Cassidy, but the Best Friends, go a bit more heelish. They worked that way the other week, and I thought it fit them quite well.
Like jerks. Like funny jerks. Yeah. Like kind of like their Twitter personas coming to television a bit more. That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be something different, wouldn't it? I mean, you can never turn Sue heel, of course.
No.
Sue is forever, baby. She's like Dusty Rhodes. but, yeah, I mean, there are times when I watch Chuck Taylor in like hardcore matches, and this goes back to like his Evolve days and stuff when he was dusting all caps, where I think this guy really missed his calling. And I love Chuck Taylor. I think he's an all-time great comedy wrestler in particular. But there are times when I watch him in these brawls and I think you really missed your calling as like a hardcore guy. He's awesome in that environment, as we saw, of course, in the parking lot brawl the other year. So I could see benefit to it. Like Trent is obviously a good, intense guy. There's no way you can heal Orange Cassidy, but there are things you could do with distancing himself from the group a little bit and things. Maybe.
And this is a kind of a first step on the road to those trios titles matches, one would assume as well.
Yeah, you'd think so. So the best friends will be players in that tournament.
We've all said that Orange Cassidy has got to be in line for some. I know he had a title shot very recently, but you know, a proper. Oh, he might win it here rather than just a first defense for Wardlow or whatever it might have been. I don't know. I feel like Orange Cassidy and Best Friends would be strong contenders for that tourney.
Yeah, definitely. They'll be there or thereabouts is the phrase I'm looking for. Maybe Satnam, Jay and Sanjay will be there as well. But yeah, it seems like a warm up for that. I mean, they're all going to get head kicked by the House of Black in the end, so it doesn't matter. My boys are going to win.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Let's talk about revenge. Ruby Soho will be looking for it tonight against Anna Jay. You know, not just for Anna Jay's brutal attack on Sky Blue.
That's right.
Yeah, on Dynamite. But of course, what happened on last week's Fighter Fest barbed wire everywhere gimmick thing. How do you see this one playing out?
Anna Jay's going to win. She's going to beat her.
Can't really just turn a heel and lose.
Yeah, it would be a bit rough, wouldn't it, if they just went, hey, let's turn you and lose. That would literally be the push that they gave to Sangha after colliding him with Grayson Waller. She's going to win. She's going to target the arm, which was obviously still healing, or if not still healing, a little bit tender in kayfabe. It's an easy story to tell between the ropes, really. Just classic pro wrestling stuff. Somebody's entering with a clear disadvantage. That's going to be the story. That's going to be how it ends, I think. And keep in mind, you know, the usual disclaimer of the spoilers being out there. I've not read them this week. I was a good boy knowing I had to do this podcast. I usually do because I hate joy. but yeah, that's going to be it. Maybe some interference from Ty to keep the heat going.
Exactly. I feel like...
Who are we throwing in there with Ruby to even it up?
That's a good question.
Statlander, maybe? Maybe?
Yeah, there's someone's got to be defending the honor and
Shida, defending the honor of the division.
This eventually heads towards some sort of Guevara Conti Kingston Ruby match, like a mixed tag.
Maybe they did. Of course, going back to like 2019 or 2020, they did the Jericho Cruz match with Penelope Ford, Riho, Kenny Omega, and Kip, and that was awesome. So why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, intrigued to see how a heel Anna Jay works. Well, I know we've seen small glimpses of it, but in terms of... Yeah. You know, I'm always intrigued when someone turns heel as to whether they've genuinely thought about, right, do the moves that are already in my moveset fit a heel? Your mind always goes to Sting, who, when he was a heel, just did the exact same thing. And you were like, right, it's kind of popping the boys.
Yeah, come on here, Steve.
So... Yeah, it's, you know, it's difficult as well because the boring thing to do is just like, right, slow everything down. Let's get some chin locks in there.
Like it's 1970 and we're in the Carolinas.
But I think it's fair to say that we're not unimpressed by Anna Jay in her recent in-ring performances, but it wasn't the exponential growth that we were hoping for. But getting in there with someone like Ruby Soho will be really beneficial for our record.
Yeah, for sure. And I think working with Jericho is going to be beneficial for her finding her character.
Like, right,
there was Jericho in that promo she cut for sure on Wednesday where she was like threatening to beat up everyone in the crowd. And you. Like that is exactly something Jericho, like it's so absurd. She's going to go and batter 7,000 people. But it's funny. So that's classic Jerichoisms, and I think she's going to pick a lot of that stuff up. But yeah, tough to know what to expect from her stylistically, as you say. But we'll it'll be fun to explore that against Ruby, who's a very pure babyface in this company. So
now, one thing we know what to expect from really is Big Lad versus Tiny Lad, and that is Ethan Page versus Little Leon Ruffin,
Leon Ruff,
of course, of NXT, and Ethan Page, who I'll talk about again in a minute in terms of his frustrations, arguably. But, he's going to, in the words of Adam Nicholas, chuck him around like an empty tracksuit, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's going to be like a leaf in the wind in autumn. It's exactly what it's going to be. Page is really good in these types of matches where he can bully someone. Because, he's not like a giant or anything, but he's a big, beefy boy for sure. And he, that's what it's going to be. He's a really convincing bully. And he's going to win, obviously. Like, Ruffin's just there to lose, but Ruffin's really good at playing that scrappy underdog role. Like, he played it in NXT, put the belt around his waist, and it didn't stay up and all that stuff.
I love that.
That was something. But, he'll do a good job. Ethan will do a good job. We'll all have a good time. And,
it's potentially a route to getting Ethan maybe as a title contender for Wardlow, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe. Coming for revenge for Sky losing the belt. I could absolutely see them doing that, yeah. It is quite telling that he just has a match on TV this week, and it's not like the product of some thing that's happened on screen. It's just kind of there. So when that happens, you look at it and you go, what's next? What are they going to offshoot from this? And there will be something, because they generally don't do things without a plan. So looking forward to finding out what it is, because he's a very talented man.
We love Ethan Page here. And he was in the news, obviously, today. We talked a little bit about this earlier on regarding his frustrations, along with a few others in the locker room, about a lack of TV time. What do you make of all that?
I think he's a worker, is what I think of. No, I can absolutely understand. So we spoke about Brian Cage and Sonny Kiss as well, who'd indicated a bit of frustration at not being on TV. And Brian's not been on AEW television since October, and Sonny Kiss has not been on AEW since October 2020. So
wow,
I get it. It's a big roster, and if you're not making TV as much as you'd hope, you're professional people who have high ambitions and hold yourself to a high value, as you should, you're going to be upset if you're not on TV as much as you want. And I think that's a good kind of driver to have in you, to hold yourself to that standard and go, no, I'm better than this. Ethan Page has a long history of these kind of like meta bits and pieces, like the whole Ethan Page played by Julian thing that he does and stuff. So with him, if he is frustrated, it's fair play. Like, I'm not going to tell him he's wrong, about his television time or anything like that. But I think with him specifically, he's conducting the audience a little bit, which I enjoy. With Brian and Sonny, I don't think it's as much. I think they probably are a little bit like, why? What's going on here?
Because early days, especially with Sonny Kiss, as you mentioned there, who's not been on telly for years.
Yeah. Literally.
They were not necessarily integral, but they were featured players. Like you say, when you mentioned on the news that Sonny's last TV match was that match with Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Like, they played an important role. And yes, maybe AEW tried some storylines. I remember the Sonny and Joey Janela storyline going on.
Panned out on Dark. With Kayla Rossi and all that stuff.
What do you think the solution is here? Because we talked a bit about this as well, in terms of the fact that, yes, you can say, you're getting plenty of exposure on Dark and Dark Elevation, but, I don't watch Dark and Dark Elevation. I know a lot of people don't, and it feels maybe a little bit like patting them on the head. Like, well, you're getting time on Dark and Dark Elevation. It's like, well, yeah, there's 20 squash matches on there.
You're working one taping a month. Congratulations. Yeah. No, there's no such thing. There's no good solution. There's literally no good solution to any of this. It's a problem that is, it just comes with having a bigger roster. And the bigger roster is no, yeah, I guess it's a tough thing as well, because if Claudio Castagnoli or who else, and Keith Lee or Swerve Strickland becomes, you don't let them go. You don't let them pass you by as free agents. But then that creates this problem. So both things are true. It's great to sign these people, but it's also creating an issue. And yeah, there's no good solution. The core issue is that there is not enough television time for the size of the roster. So how can we alleviate that? Well, one thing, either the TV time needs to get bigger. We need an extra hour here and there, which isn't ideal in today's kind of overloaded content world. With AEW, maybe that might mean the Ring of Honor show, but we're still not quite
further. Yeah, exactly, because that's what they were trying to do with the aligned Brian Cage, of course, with Tully Blanchard Enterprises.
Yeah, that would get
more. And that seemed really promising.
Yeah, that would get more people on TV for sure if that existed, but it doesn't exist yet. So that's why, I mean, it's like imperfect. Mm. We got the Embassy revival now instead of which I'm a mark for, because I'm a Ring of Honor mark, so sue me. The other solutions are you trim your roster size, which sucks because people are losing their jobs, right? You never want that, but it is a consequence of expansion.
No, exactly. I think sitting here and saying, well, you know, they shouldn't have signed X, Y, and Z. Well, to a certain extent, certain people, and I'm not going to mention any names, I 100% agree with you when it comes to a case-by-case basis. And even if they had 50 more wrestlers on that roster, if John Cena becomes available, you don't go, well, one in, one out, sorry. Yeah. It's
Yeah, exactly.
I saw someone suggesting extending Rampage to 2 hours as a solution to this, and also to the lack of viewership for Rampage. I don't think that solves either problem.
No, that would make it worse. That would make it worse, like especially the viewership, because the problem with Rampage is that it airs at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. If it's Friday night and it's 10 p.m., I'm either in bed, because I'm an old man, or I'm out drinking, see my friends, you know, having a good time. I'm doing something else. I'm not sitting in and watching pro wrestling.
No.
And that's the case with a lot. That's why there are other reasons why the viewership kind of has declined to where it is now. That's the core one. If you extend it by another hour, you're talking about watching wrestling until midnight after you've maybe watched SmackDown already. So to me, that's a bigger problem. So I don't see that as a solution. It would get more people on TV, but it would harm the viewership even more. No one's watching that hour, nobody, unless they do it on DVR. My big idea, my big solution for all of this was to make Dark and Elevation feel a bit more important.
Yeah.
Do actual storylines, do crossovers on Rampage and Dynamite. Go, here's a clip of a feud that's going on. You need to tune in to see this because it's really cool. And have matches that that have stakes and stories and promos and make it a bit more Dynamite-y and Rampage-y. That would raise the importance of their show, which would mean that people who are featured predominantly on those shows are not seen as being demoted or whatever. There's a developmental element of Dark and Elevation that should always stay in place. That's a very useful thing for AEW, particularly as they don't have like a performance center equivalent. They have schools and stuff, but whatever. There's no good solution. And I feel for people like Sonny Kiss. I like Sonny Kiss a lot. Mm. I've been a big proponent of Sonny Kiss since I first laid eyes on him. I think he's a lot of fun. I loved the fantasy booking of putting Sonny in the baddies. I think that would be awesome. But it doesn't appear to be something that's happening. So I understand Sonny's frustration in particular. It's an unfortunate consequence of growth. That's what it is.
Clear solution here. Make Dynamite 3 hours. I'm joking, of course. I'm joking. But a quick word on that, because Dynamite was sensational this week. If you want to check out our thoughts on it, check out the Dynamite review. We heaped praise on
it. It was
show.
Bloody ace.
It was, you know, you've seen tweets about it saying, you know, it's 5-star-making performances on that show in terms of the people like Garcia, like Powerhouse, like Ricky Starks.
Starks in defeat. Yeah.
So there's that. Is the issue with Rampage as well, not just the timings, but arguably, I mean, you look at this and you look at last week's, the big thing last week was a rap battle, which popped me, but it feels a lot less, and I'm not saying that they have to have, you know, no, I can't do it right now, but, you know, they can't have CM Punk or Moxley on there every week, but it feels it needs to be more appointment viewing than it is right now.
Yeah, they don't create hooks for it to become appointment viewing, and I wonder, you know, there was all the talk when it came in, and they kind of have to say this, it's not going to be a B show, it's not going to be a second tier show. Well, it is. It is by default. It's become that. And you tell us that every week by the lineups. And I'm not saying they're not good matches and angles and stuff on it. Hey, my guys, The Butcher and The Blade, were on it last week. I was very happy about that. But they're not booking the big names for it every week. And that's telling. I think they've probably looked at the time slot, looked at where it airs and gone, well, any improvements that we might make in viewership are going to be incremental because of those outlying circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think personally that's probably where it's coming from. I would like it to be a bit more appointment viewing. I would like to be able to wake up on a Saturday morning because I don't watch live usually, which speaks to the viewership issues. I would love to wake up on a Saturday and be just so fired up for the show every week. Instead, I wake up to watch it and I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good show, but it's not necessarily going to be game changing.
No, exactly. Nevertheless, it is a very easy watch over the weekend.
Light and breezy.
Oh, more 1 hour wrestling shows, yeah. Please.
I hope Ring of Honor is 1 hour when it comes in.
I hope so.
I know
too.
We've just spoken about them needing more time, but I like that bite-sized chunk of wrestling. Hell yeah, let's go.
And make sure you tune in tonight for that thing we can't talk about, but you're not going to want to miss.
No spoilers on this podcast, my friends.
Right, let us know your thoughts ahead of Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, they can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for habanero.
Ooh, pepper.
Spicy pepper.
Not for me. Don't spicy like spicy
pepper,
food.
Baby.
Probably guess.
The cold-blooded sausage maker, baby. My dusty rose voice needs a bit of work, baby.
I always think, oof, that cucumber's got a bit of a kick to it.
Ric Flair!
You can follow me on Twitter, at Adam Wilbur. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The SmackDown preview is available right now, and our review of that show and this show will drop into your feed on Monday as soon as it is released, if you subscribe. Also coming your way later on today, Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz. But this has been the Rampage Baby Preview. My thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
We're in harmony now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.